Turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 2 this morning, we celebrate, of course, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's Christmas Day. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God loved us and sent his Son at exactly the right time, Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time. We think of the Christmas story, the Word becoming flesh, God becoming a human being. Why? So he could die for us. So he could go to the cross. So he could pay for the sins of the world. So he could be the Savior of mankind. As we look this morning at a very, very familiar passage, we want to remember what happened that night, and we want to think about who was speaking and what was the message and what was the response and who was there. And may this be a special day for all of us as we think about our Savior Jesus Christ. Well, this is my favorite time of the year. We remember, of course, that the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Each of you have your own special memories, the trees, the songs, the presents, time with family. Christmas is so special. I first heard the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, being read by my first grade teacher. And I can remember that we would have a little play, and she would pick people out, and people would line up, and some would be baby Jesus, and somebody would be Joseph and Mary, and most of us would be shepherds, and that's the way it was. And she would read Luke chapter 2. And that was in the second grade, and that was in the third grade. That's where I first heard the message. At this Christmas season, we focus on the birth of Jesus Christ. This is often called the incarnation, which means God becoming flesh, a human being. The baby born in Bethlehem indeed is the Son of God. And today we remember his birth. We want to think about that first Christmas. And that message that was given that day is the same message as today. Unto us a child is born. He is the Savior. He is Christ the Lord. And today we want to look very briefly at the very familiar passage. In fact, we had the reading of it a while ago, Luke chapter 2. And we want to look at two different things. We want to see the background of the birth, which is the gift of God. The first gift of Christmas was the gift of the Son, Jesus Christ. And we're going to see the gift, the events, the birth. And then we want to see the announcement. And we're going to see who was the audience, who was the speaker, what was the message, and how did they respond. And so it's a very familiar passage, and it'll be fun to look through it. Let's start with the background. The background of the birth. Let's think about the background and realize that the story of Christmas is God's love story. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God's love and God's gift. God loved the world. God gave his Son. When we think about gifts, we think of presents that maybe we get at Christmas or what we give away at Christmas. But we realize that the first Christmas, God gave the gift. The gift was the Son, Jesus Christ. Let's think about the gift. You know, we all know the famous verse, God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his Son. But before we get into the passage, let's think about this gift. And think about, first of all, the gift was not deserved. In fact, if a gift is deserved, it's not a gift. That means you earned it somehow. This gift is not deserved. We didn't earn anything. God decided to give the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. The eternal Son of God, who's always existed at a point in time in history, came into this world. That's the gift. God sent his Son, and it's all based on the love of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the love of God. The Bible tells us in this is love, not that we love God, but God loved us and sent his Son to be the satisfactory payment for our sins. Let's see the first Christmas gift. Look at Luke chapter 2, look at verse 1. It says, now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. It says in those days. Now what happened already? An angel has come to Mary, a young girl, engaged to be married. She could have been as young as 13 or 14 years old. Most young girls at that time between ages 14, 15, 16, that's when they got engaged and got married. She could have been as young as 14 years old. An angel came to her and told her that she was going to have a child. That child would be the Son of God. That child would be a descendant of King David. He would take the throne of his father David. He would rule forever. He would be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And she said, well, I don't know how that's going to be possible since I'm a virgin. Said, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and that which is conceived in you is the Son of God. She understood that the baby would be God, that the baby would be the Messiah and the Savior. We also find out at this time an angel came to Joseph, because when Joseph found out that Mary was about to have a baby, because 3 months had passed since this happened, and he looks and he realizes she's pregnant, and she tells him it's from the Holy Spirit and this is going to be the Son of God, and he thinks, well, maybe she lost it somehow. I don't know. And so in a dream, an angel comes to him and said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because that which is conceived in her is the Son of God, and he shall save his people from their sins. And so this decree, it says, now in those days, in the days that it's not quite time, the baby's just about here, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. Now, Caesar Augustus, of course, is the emperor of Rome, and he's ruling everything, and he wants to make sure he gets enough money. So he decides that he's going to take a census. He wants to count everybody to make sure he's got his taxes. He doesn't understand that this is all God's plan. That even though he thinks he made the decision to tax the world, in God's plan, this is God working everything, because the baby Messiah must be born in Bethlehem, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But Joseph and Mary are living in Nazareth. So God has to make an emperor tax the world to get them to the right place. Notice what it says. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Luke wants us to know that when he writes this, this is actual. This happened at an actual event, an actual time in history. As we know that Paul wrote earlier in Galatians 4:4 that in the fullness of time, when I say earlier, we mentioned it earlier, in the fullness of time, God brought forth his son at exactly the perfect time. You know, we think, wonder why Jesus didn't come now, or why didn't Jesus come at a different time? According to what the scripture says, Jesus came at exactly the right time and exactly the right place. So what did people have to do? Verse 3, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Everybody had to go back to where their background was, where they were born. Now Joseph, he was a descendant of King David. King David's hometown was Bethlehem, Bayit, which means house. Chem means bread. Bethlehem means the house of bread. And so that's where Joseph was from. Now, picture this. What if all of a sudden a decree came out and said, every one of your families, the head of your house, all of your families must go back to the place that is your hometown where you were born. That means my family would have to go to Jackson, Mississippi. And how easy would that be? We said, wait a minute, we got to go back to Jackson. Other people said, well, we got to go to Muskogee, we got to go to Oklahoma City, we got to all move, because the emperor wants us to get listed in the census in our hometowns so that he can tax us. Everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. And notice it says, Joseph also went up from Galilee, that's the northern part of Israel, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, that's the southern part of Israel, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Why? Because he was of the house and of the family of David. So he has to leave the northern part of Israel and come all the way to the south, because that's the plan. He has to do that. And can you see him coming to Mary and say, Mary, the law has come out. We got to go. We got to make a trip. It's about 250, maybe 300 miles. And she says, look, I could have this baby any minute now. We got to get a donkey. We got to get something. We got to get you down there. And so, you know, the going was slow, because they couldn't travel very fast. She's about to have the baby, but he's got to go to where he's supposed to go. It says that they went in order to register, along with Mary, who was engaged to him, betrothed to him, and was with child. So he gives us the information. Luke says, there she is, she's going. Now, we already know from Luke chapter 1 that the child that she is bearing is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the descendant of King David, who will be the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who will be the one who will save his people, save mankind. And then we see something happened. While they were there, they got there. But you know, let me tell you, we'll read the verses a little bit later in just a second. But think about it. When they got there, all of the relatives, all of the people that they've known, there's no place for them. Remember, everybody from all over has come there. No telling, Bethlehem is a little bitty town, and it's just full of people. And when they got there, there's no place. And there wasn't Holiday Inns. There wasn't the places they could just go to. And they went and even went to an inn. And they said, there's no room. And by the way, the inns in those days were not where you wanted to stay anyway. And so they found a place, most likely in a cave outside somewhere. It says, while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. It says the days were completed. The time was come for the birth. And you know, let me just tell you this. Think about it. It was exact time, because it's fullness of time. It was exactly the right time. It was exactly the right place. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says, Bethlehem, even though you're a little bitty city, this is where the Messiah will be born. This will be the one who's always existed. He will be born in Bethlehem. I love this quote. Eugene Stirner wrote this. He says, Christmas is when God came down the stairs of heaven with a baby in his arms. This is it. God says, here's your present. I've sent you a present. People say, I didn't get anything for Christmas. Yeah, you did. You got the Messiah. You got the Savior. At exactly the right time, God sent his son into this world. And it goes, verse 7, it says, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths, and she laid him in a manger. Why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. Notice it says she gave birth to her firstborn son. This is it. This is the son. This is the God-man. This is God who became a man. This is the firstborn son. This is the Son of God. This is the eternal Savior. This is the one who has come. In fact, it reminds us of Isaiah 9:6, unto us the child is born. That's the man. Unto us the son is given. That's the eternal Son of God. Here is God's gift of the Son. And just think about the baby being born. And all of us probably in our lives, we've been there when babies are born, or we know somebody had the baby, and we go see the brand new little baby, and there they are. Think about that night when that baby was born. And Jesus came into this world, not just a baby, but the Son of God. Not just a baby, but the Savior of the world. There's nobody like him. He's the God-man. It says that they wrapped him in cloths because it's cold, it's probably colder, and so they wrapped him up, and they laid him in a feed trough. That's the place where animals were, because their animals were all around there, because there was no room for them in the inn. Most likely they were near the inn, because when people would come, they would have their animals and they'd tie their animals up. And so they had all these animals out there. And so there's the feed trough, and they place the little baby, Jesus, in a feed trough. The virgin has brought forth a child, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Wow, what a night, what a time. By the way, the first Christmas gift is the Messiah and the Savior. And by the way, this gift can be received at any time. God so loved the world, he gave his son, and whoever believes in him will never perish. John 1:12, as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God. By this, the love of God was manifested, that God sent his only begotten son into this world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but God loved us and sent his son to be the payment, the satisfactory payment for our sins. The first Christmas gift, God gave us his son. It's the greatest gift of all. And we can all get gifts and say, I got a car one time, or I got this one time, or I got the brand new iPhone, I got this. Listen, those are nice gifts, but nothing compares to the gift of Jesus Christ. Nothing. Think about the birth of the Messiah. It wasn't a famous woman. It wasn't some rich woman. It wasn't some famous Jewish woman. It was a poor young girl. And they were poor, by the way. When they brought the sacrifice to take Jesus, when Jesus was 8 days old, and they took the sacrifice that they had to do under the Jewish law, they gave the most inexpensive sacrifice because they couldn't afford anything else. Not a famous woman, not in a major city, Bethlehem. I mean, Bethlehem, the only thing that made Bethlehem famous at all was that King David grew up there. That's all that made it famous. And by the way, the only thing that ever made Nazareth famous was that Jesus grew up there. And it wasn't in a special room, wasn't in the hospital. It was outside, where the animals were. Well, we've seen the first gift. Well, let's talk about the announcement. And there are four things, and we'll go through them fairly quickly. I want you to see it, the announcement. We're going to see the audience, we're going to see the speaker, we're going to see the message, and we're going to see the response. So let's start and look at verse 8. It says, in the same region, near outside of Bethlehem, and actually between Bethlehem and Jerusalem, there were shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. The shepherds, of course, were keeping flock. And if you remember that there's the temple at Jerusalem, which is not but about 3 or 4 miles from probably where they were. These animals were used for sacrifices at the temple. So that's why these shepherds were there. In the same region, there were some shepherds keeping out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And so the first audience is going to be the shepherds. And the shepherds were the common people. In fact, some shepherds, they were not even common people. They were a little bit lower than common people. People say, oh, you're a shepherd. I mean, look how you smell. Look what you're with all the time. You're always outside. You're dirty. Realize that God came to the shepherds, the common people, not to the religious leaders, which would be the Levites and the high priest and the rabbis, no. Not to the political leaders, which would be Herod and Pontius Pilate and Caesar Augustus, no. Not to wealthy businessmen. He didn't bring this message to the most wealthy people in town. He did not bring this message to those with had social status. He brought the message to shepherds. Wonder why? Because this baby born one day is called the Good Shepherd. The shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. That's us. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give eternal life to them and they shall never perish. Nobody can pluck out of my hand. My Father gave me is greater than all. Nobody can pluck out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. He's the great shepherd, the good shepherd. So the first audience were the shepherds. How about the first speaker? First speaker is an angel. Look at the next verse. And an angel, verse 9, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened. When I was a kid, they only had the King James Bible, and my teacher would read, and she said, and they were sore afraid. And we thought, what does sore mean? We don't know, but it must be bad because they were scared. And the angels came, and they were terribly, terribly frightened. An angel comes and gives the message, not a person, a powerful being. Angels are so powerful that any time they appear before people, people are afraid. You remember when the angel appeared to Mary back in Luke chapter 1? She was afraid, and he says, do not be afraid, Mary, for I bring you good news. We're going to see that these angels tell the shepherds, do not be afraid. Angels are ministering spirits from God. They're sent by God to serve God. Notice what it says, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They come, and I imagine everything just lit up. I'm just amazing. And they were terribly frightened. What a contrast, the lowly shepherds and the glory of God with an angel. So the first audience were the shepherd, and the first speaker is an angel. What's the first message? The first message is good news, great joy to all people. Let's look what it says. Angel said to them, do not be afraid. Why? Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. I love that. Every time I read that, every time I hear that, I love it because it's good news, great joy, all people. It's a good news message. The word gospel, evangelion, is good news. It's the good news message about Jesus Christ. It's great joy because when you understand who Jesus Christ is and you trust in him, you have the joy of his salvation. And then it's for all people. It's for all people. Let me tell you, we have our church and our website and our messages. They're going all over. And I've listed 6 different churches in Africa, Kenya, and different places, and they write us and they call me and we talk to them. And guess what? The message they proclaim and the message we talk about is exactly the same as our message. And there's some churches in India that we follow and that follow us, and it's the exact same message. And see, this message is for all people. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter who people are. This message is for every human being. It's a good news message of great joy, which is for all people. What is the message? He says, for today, verse 11, for today, in the city of David, Bethlehem, there has been born for you individually, you. Today, in the city of David, born for every one of us, each one of us, is a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. He's a Savior. Now, let me tell you something. He didn't say a good teacher's born there, a great teacher, a good speaker, a great helper, a good friend, a good man. He didn't say a good man was born there, a good friend was born there, a great teacher was born there. He said a Savior was born there. We need a Savior. It's okay to have good teachers and good friends and good helpers and good people and all that, but what we need is a Savior because we're separated from God, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, and we need somebody to deal with that, and Jesus Christ is the Savior. Matthew 1:21, you shall call his name Jesus, which means Savior, because he shall save his people from their sins. Acts chapter 4, Peter says, there is no other name given among men under heaven by which we might be saved except Jesus Christ. Look what it says, who is Christ the Lord. The name Christ is the Messiah. The word Lord means God. He's the Lord God Messiah. A Savior is born of this world. And when we meet together this morning, we're remembering that at a point in time in history, the Savior came into the world, the one to give us eternal life. Well, how are they going to find him? Notice, angel says, this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. This is how you're going to find the baby. We want you to go find the baby. Well, how are we going to find the baby? Well, you're going to go find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a feed trough. That's how you'll find the baby. But then, all of a sudden, there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. That means more angels, a whole bunch of angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased. They came and they gave a message. Now, we always say, hark, the herald angels sing. It doesn't say they sang. Maybe they sang. It doesn't say it. It's a great song anyway. But they're talking. They're saying glory to God in the highest. Glory to God. Well, the first audience were the shepherds. The first speakers, the angel. The first message, good news, great joy to all people. The Savior has been born. What is the first response? You know what the response is? What did the shepherds do? Two things. They believed the message and they told the message. Think about it. They believed the message. Look at verse 15. When the angel had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began to say to one another, hey, let's go straight to Bethlehem right now. Let's go and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They didn't look around and go, what was that? Nothing. Let's just go back to tending our sheep. What was that? I don't believe. You believe that? I don't believe that. No, they believed it immediately. They looked at each other and said, listen, maybe the youngest guy stay here and take care of the sheep. We're going in there to sign this thing. We want to see what has happened that the Lord has made known to us. They believed the message. They believed the Messiah had been born. They believed the Christ is here, the Savior of the world. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe the message? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the one who died and rose again, the one born in Bethlehem as the Savior of the world? Have you believed in Christ for eternal life? Have you trusted in him and him alone to give you life? He's the only Savior there is. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we might be saved except the name Jesus Christ. They believe the message. I hope and pray every one of you in this room, you believe the message. Well, look what they did. It says, so they came in a hurry and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. They said, there he is. He's in the feed trough. And then look what they did. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about the child. What they did, they told the message. Remember, they believed the message and they told the message. They made known the statement. What was the statement? That this baby is the Savior of the world, the Christ. Born this day in the city of David, a Savior, Christ the Lord. That's the message, that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, that the baby born in Bethlehem. And look what it says. And all who heard it wondered at the things which are told by the shepherds. Because there's other people. You imagine people said, hey, there's a baby born. You hear right outside, somebody had a baby. Let's go out and look at the baby. Oh, look at the baby, people. And the shepherds come up and say, let me tell you who that baby is. That baby is the Messiah. That baby is the Savior of the world. That baby is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That's the baby. And it says, all the people who heard this, they wondered at the things which were told to them by the shepherds. They went, what are they saying? That baby is the long-awaited Messiah, the greater son of David? All who heard it wondered at the things were told by the shepherds, but Mary treasured all these things in her heart. You know, she treasured all these things. She pondered them in her heart. She knew. Angel had already told her who this baby was. And then what did the shepherds do? The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they heard and had seen, just as had been told them. It's just like, it was like the angel told them. They went back. They made known the message. Do you and I make the message? Do we tell people who Jesus is? Do we talk about the real reason for Christmas? Is the real reason for Christmas presents and a Christmas tree? And no, the real reason for Christmas is Jesus Christ, the Messiah and the Savior. They believed, they told. We believe, we trust in Jesus, and we tell others. So think about what we've seen. The background of the birth, God's gift, Mary and Joseph coming to Bethlehem, the birth of the Savior. And then we see the announcement. The audience were the shepherds. The speaker was the angel. The message was good news of great joy to all people. The Savior has been born. And the response, they believed the message and they told the message. So what can we do? Let's understand the true message of Christmas. It's not the toys or the trees or the presents or the decorations or the food. The message of Christmas is that God so loved the world that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, that the baby born in Bethlehem indeed is the Savior of the world. that's the message of Christmas. And our response to that, let's believe and proclaim the message. If you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ, this morning on his birthday, on Christmas Day, you can believe that Jesus Christ will give you eternal life. He came into this world born as a baby, born as a human being, so he could die in our place, pay for our sins, rise again, conquer death, and give eternal life to all who would believe in him. If you trust in him as Savior, if you trust in him for eternal life, he will save you forever. I hope and pray that everyone in this room has trusted Christ. The second thing is, let's proclaim the message. Let's talk to people. Let's tell them what the true meaning is, and not just at Christmas time. It's easier to talk about it then because this is what everybody's talking about, Christmas. Most people, when they talk about Christmas, they don't know what it means. Just turn on television and you ask people, what do you think the meaning of Christmas is? And they'll say it's family and food and fellowship. And no, the meaning of Christmas is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And whoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. May we praise God this morning for the birth of our Savior. May we tell others that Jesus Christ was born to die, to be the Savior of the world.